Second Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. I know I put verses 1 through 7, but for the sake of time, I want to focus on the main verse. And let me bring it up if you don't have your Bibles. Paul is writing a letter to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And Timothy was going through some problems, not any of his own making, but sometimes congregations that have very young pastors and some of the congregation that are older will tend to give the younger pastor a hard time. And there's a lot of reasons for that, a lot of dynamics for it. But at this point in time, Paul's writing Timothy and to encourage him to say, don't let that discourage you. And he gives him pointers on how to handle this. Well, in the second letter, he says this: I am reminded of your sincere faith. Should underline that. Your sincere faith, which first lived in your, what's the word? Lois, and in your Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. That in itself is a mouthful, isn't it? You talk about the power of a mother's or a grandmother's legacy. As I just briefly touch on this today, I need to put it in a context for our day. We realize that in the past 30 years, a lot has changed. And what I mean by that, we've had a lot of change in our culture, a lot of change in our churches. There have been many economic changes that influenced the pressures of a family. 30, 35 years ago, most families were just one-income families. Now, because of economic pressures, some economic pressures, there needs to be at least two incomes to support a family. I say that reservedly because part of that problem the parents could make if they choose to live over their head without a budget, correct? So, I say that with a caveat. You want to know more about that? See Joey as he teaches Dave Ramsey. And he'll tell you more. But times have changed. The other things that have changed over the years, there's been an eroding for the respect of families. And what I mean by that is that our culture has diminished what a family should be in a lot of ways. This is nothing new to us. This started with programs like All in the Family, The Simpsons. Some of you probably still watch them, where the respect for the family kind of dwindled because it started to make fathers look like buffoons, to be honest with you. And so we have that going on. The other thing that we know culturally is that the divorce rate has increased, even in the church, even in the evangelical church, while the marriage rate has decreased. And so I give you this background just to say this. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in, whether you're in a traditional family, whether you are in a single parent family, a godly mother or a grandmother can leave a powerful legacy to their children and grandchildren. Some of the cultural changes have been to make us blame shifters. You know what I mean by blame shifters? Blame shifters is that the problems that we experience is never our fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, that's baloney. The Bible says that we need to take responsibility for our own issues, for the things that we have done both right and wrong. We need to take responsibility for and start to correct those things. And so no matter what situation you find yourself in, again, single parent, in a traditional family with mother, father, and kids, or a grandparent who, you realize there's more grandparents now raising kids than ever before. Okay? I mean, those are some of the things culturally that we find. But in this sentence, I find this. There are some great insights here about leaving a legacy to kids, particularly addressed to grandmothers and mothers. And we need to listen. Now, there's application for dads here, too, so I don't want to leave you out. But this is so important. I can't emphasize it. I believe our greatest resource is our children. I really do. I believe our greatest resource is our children. And when I say leave a legacy, I'm not talking about financially. All right. If you're able to leave a financial legacy to someone, that's fine. All right. And that's good. But the greater legacy is what you pass on to your children as far as faith in Christ. Now, parents, moms, here we go. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is meant to be passed on to the next generation. And thank God for godly moms and grandmas and great-grandmas who do that. One of the frustrations of sometimes even a great-grandmother is that they fear that they don't have that much influence into the life of their grandchildren. And I would say to you, don't get discouraged, but leave that to the Lord. The Lord will open up opportunities as your heart is right, as you follow God, he'll open up opportunities. We need to pass the great principles of Christianity to the next generation. I believe one of the biggest things is the treasure of a praying mother or father, or grandmother. We sang a whole bunch of songs before, and I almost felt like saying, do we believe what we're singing? Our God is greater. Do we believe that? If our God is greater, then we're not praying to our great God on behalf of our children and grandchildren. I haven't met too many mothers that don't worry. Okay? You know, I think that comes with the job description. However, I have to step back, and I'm a worrier too, so I'm not, you know, I'm talking to myself here. I have to step back and I say, do I really believe prayer works? Number one. Number two, do I really believe in a God that's greater than the problem? Do I really believe in a God who's all-powerful, who's almighty? Now, that doesn't mean that God will necessarily answer the prayer that the way we want it answered, but he will answer that prayer one way or another. And so we need to pass on the great principles. One of those principles is the treasure of a praying grandmother and mother. Lois is the grandmother here. Eunice is the mother. Eunice needs to be praying because how would you like to have a name like Eunice, right? No, I'm only kidding. I am persuaded, Paul says, about Timothy because of the legacy his grandmother and mother left. The other thing that we need to see here is that right in the beginning, he says, I reminded Timothy of your sincere faith. That word in the original language means without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. In other words, it's authentic. Not perfect, but authentic. It's real. It's real. One of the dangers that I've seen in the pastorate is, and this applies to both moms and dads, they'll drop their kids off to Sunday school and leave. Or they'll drop them off to church and leave. And I cringe when I see that. I mean, I'm glad the kids come, but I cringe because, man, if it's good for the kids, why isn't it good for you? You follow? Okay. If faith is authentic, then our kids can spot phonies, all right? If faith is authentic, then let it be authentic and let them see it lived out in our lives. See an authentic faith and sincere Christianity being lived out in the daily lives of moms and grandmas. I mean, that could be powerful in the good times and in the bad times. The other thing we need to do, moms and grandmothers, and those teaching opportunities that we get, communicate with your children in words and illustrations they understand. Does that make sense? The way you talk to a kindergarten or a pre-kindergarten child is going to be a lot different than the way you would talk to somebody who's in middle school or high school. Right? Share the great stories of the Bible with them. Share the great stories of God working in daily life. How many? One of the greatest things we've lost, I think, is that we don't sit down to dinner anymore. Right? Everybody's off doing their own thing. We don't sit down and dinner. What a great place to kind of recap answers to prayer, what God is doing, how God helped you through a difficult situation. Those things will stick with children. Even if they rebel against those things, they have a way of sticking with children. Grandmothers and mothers can leave a godly legacy through storytelling. Did you catch that? Tell stories about what God has done. Don't you know that's what they did in the Old Testament? They told stories. Tell stories. Read the scriptures. Don't be afraid of telling stories. Now, in my own family, you know, holidays were a time where you got together you overate, but you sat at a table pretty much for anywhere from 4 to 6 hours. And the reason why I used to like to do that is because of all the stories I heard. I'm serious. And you learn a lot from those stories. Now, some of them I'm not proud of, okay? But I heard a lot of stories. I come to find out that when Joey was in high school and in college, a lot of his friends would come over or we'd go out with them someplace. And the reason why they like spending time with us is because they like the stories we told. Stories are powerful. And when you tie God into that mix and how he has been working, it can be a very powerful tool. The other thing, moms and grandmas, we need to do is we need to give our kids liberty and room to ask questions so they start to own their own faith. It's okay to ask questions. Here's the thing. Answer them honestly. If you don't know the answer, just tell them you don't know the answer. You know, what's the big deal? The older they get, they think you don't know anything. So just tell them if you don't know something, I really don't know, you know. But here's what I do know. Answer them with love. Give them treasures from the scripture to consider. The other thing we have to remember is that we have to live what we teach. That's part of being authentic. We have to live what we teach. You know, there were too many times I would hear, do as I say, not as I do. That's really a bad thing to say. Rather, it would be better to say, hey, I know this is a struggle. I struggle with it. But it's the right thing to do. Kids can understand that. Children need to see a sincere faith in our walk with God, that our walk matches our talk. We won't be perfect. We need to be honest when we fail. Just tell them you blew it. I'm sorry. You know those words I say when somebody cut me off? I should have never said them. I'm sorry. I blew it. You know how angry I got at so-and-so when they did this to me? I was angry, but I handled it the wrong way. You know, just be honest with them. We need to be authentic with our children. Last, we need to continually pray for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I can't emphasize this more. Don't ever, ever, ever stop praying. There's several reasons for that. We have the promise that God answers prayer. And if we're praying for the wrong thing, we also have the promise that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and prays for the right thing. Don't ever stop praying. You may think a situation is hopeless. It is never hopeless. It's only hopeless if the only way it becomes hopeless is if we stop praying. Now, I say that because God is not on our timeline. He answers in his own timing, his own perfect way. Never stop praying. I want to give you an example of that. You can find this in Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Jim Cimbala, pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. He had a young daughter who ran away from home. And she was living on the streets for a couple of years in New York, in Brooklyn, not knowing if she was alive or dead. No contact at all. Both he and Carol, his wife, kept praying and praying. Their main meeting is not Sunday worship, although they get about 15,000 people out. Their main meeting is Tuesday night prayer meeting. You can read this in the book if you wish, okay? Tuesday night prayer meeting, their auditorium holds about 6,000 people and another 1,000 in overflow. People start lining up at 5 o'clock, and by the time prayer meeting starts at 7, they got to turn people away. They just can't accommodate them. One of those prayer meetings, a woman got up and prayed for this daughter to come back home. The next morning, Jim Sibyla is in his bathroom, shaving, go to the office, and his wife comes in and says, "Somebody's here to see you." And like any normal pastor, he said, "I'm shaving. I'm in the bathroom. They couldn't wait till I got to the office," right? His wife says, "I think you better come out." He comes out, and he sees his daughter. And the first words out of her mouth was, "Who prayed for me?" And to this day, his daughter is still fellowshipping at Brooklyn Tabernacle, doing well. You never give up praying. If you read some of the biography of Christian leaders, many of them have said that they can remember their moms and dads, grandparents, great-grandparents, reading their Bible at home or praying. What a legacy to pass on. That this is not just something we do on Sundays. This is something that applies to us every day and that we need every day. That prayer is important and we believe in the power of prayer. For many, this left a lasting impression on them because they saw firsthand the importance of a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ in the lives of their moms, their parents, their grandparents, great-grandparents. Never give up praying for our children. Never. Never give up praying for our great-grandchildren and our grandchildren. Don't let discouragement stop you. I believe that Satan's most effective tool in the life of a believer, in the life of a Christ follower, is discouragement. I believe that's his most effective tool. And if you and I give into that discouragement, we're letting him have the victory. But you see, I know my God is stronger. I know my God is greater. I know my God can do what he says he can do. Never give up. Our most precious resource is our children. I believe the most precious legacy we can leave our children is the principles of faith, the Christian faith. When I say principles, I'm talking about the body of faith. If I can put it this way, the non-negotiable doctrines of our faith. Man, we got to pass those on because our children are in an increasingly more hostile environment than when we were kids. When we were kids, generally speaking, our culture was friendly towards Christianity. That is no longer the case. It's becoming more increasingly hostile. Now, here. I'm going to say something. You probably get angry at me, but that's okay. Won't be the first time. I am a big fan of Sunday school. Okay, I will say that up front. However, Sunday school is never a substitute for what the parents need to be doing at home. We should be the ones who come alongside and augment that. But man, listen, grandmas and mothers, start. When you have the opportunity to teach the great principles of the faith to children and grandchildren. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see our children choose a living, dynamic life with Christ over the lies of the empty and sometimes deadly promises of the world? I would rather see a child say yes to Christ than heroin. I would rather see a child say yes to Christ than crack cocaine. I would love to see a child say yes to Christ rather than saying yes to a cult or a gang. I'd rather see children say yes to Christ so they can become successful young adults for the kingdom of God. Mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, never stop praying. Never miss an opportunity to teach a life lesson. Always be authentic. When we blow it, admit it. But teach them the great principles of the faith and teach them what God has done in your life. Tell them stories. If there's anything that I'd like you to remember from this time we had to spend on this verse, it's this. Tell them stories. Tell them what God has done. Just tell it to them. When you can, incorporate Scripture. Say, this is what God says in Scripture, and I've seen this firsthand. Because I believe in the promise that God made in the prophet Isaiah, that his word will never come back what? And you realize that sometimes, even if we're faithful to pass on or try to pass on our faith to our kids, we may not see the realization of that here on this earth. We may not. But you leave that to God's hands. You never, ever give up. Amen? Amen. So here's what I like to do. I ask the praise team to come up. What I like to do right now,